100 Word Stories.
Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your unusual turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. No more excuses for the poor audio quality. It is what it is. The topic this week was hotel. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up is Tom. Tom, tell us a story.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called Cartesian Grid. In a gentler age, people lived in hotels. In a way, it makes sense. If you eliminate the need for all things kitchen, the room you need drops not only by square feet, but by raw functionality. People bring you food, you eat, leaving the dishes for others. The restraint of hotel life limits family building, so you don't need more than one bedroom. Since there isn't a financial drain towards child rearing, monies can go for the real important stuff. Books, lots of books. So you got a bed, books, and bathtub. What more could you possibly want?
What more could you possibly want? An important question in this day and age of consumerism. Thank you, Tom. Although I'd want a pipe organ, because all evil villains have pipe organs. It's very important, and you need room for that. And I think that would probably disturb the other guests in the hotel, unless they like pipe organ music too, and perhaps, you know, everyone would come down the hall and, hey, you gonna be playing the pipe organ today? And it's like, oh, sure, why not? Let's pull out all the stops, shall we? Thank you, Tom. Next up is Thomas. That's right, first Tom, then Thomas. We don't have anyone named Tommy this time, so no, we're not going to go into that. No, not this time. Maybe some other time. Here's Thomas and his story.
The hotel was located a little off the freeway next to a meat market. It was a two-story building painted bright red and festooned with gaudy neon lights that blinked vacancy. Vacancy. Tom and Ellen pulled in late after their full day of driving south. Tom signed in as John and Nancy Smith, and they went to the room overlooking the large pool. The pool was empty, and there seemed to be no other people around. There was one other car in the lot. Tom appreciated the quiet and marveled at how reasonable the room rate was. The Costa Baja Hotel was full of kids on spring break, so Tom and Ellen had to find an out-of-the-way room far from the popular beach. The room was in a modest old neighborhood, and the woman that greeted them at the door welcomed them and said they could stay in the room if they didn't mind sharing the bathroom. During the night, nature called, and Tom went down the hall to the bathroom. There was lots of splashing and movement in the bathroom. The door was ajar, and Tom looked in to see four large squid men frolicking in the tub.
Do gigantic squid men use Hotwire, or do they use Expedia? Or, oh wait, Priceline. Because sometimes I wonder about William Shatner and his loyalty to the human species. Thank you, Thomas. Next up, let's see, looking down the list, and Tura Bregianu. You'd think with the list right in front of me, I would know who's next. I need to get better organized. However, Tura is perfectly organized, and everything is all in order. Let's hit play, shall we?
Welcome to the Aldebaran Imperial Hotel. These instructions are for your safety and convenience. All rooms are color-coded by environmental type. Yours is oxygen, blue. Public areas are vacuum, white. Environment suits must be worn outside your designated zone. Remember that you may be toxic to them. Do not enter purple areas under any circumstances. Do not approach strangers other than hotel staff, unless you are sure that you are familiar with their species and their social customs. The hotel cannot be held responsible for injury or death, in whatever manner, resulting from disregard of these instructions. Enjoy your stay.
Thank you, Tura. Don't go into the purple areas is advice that everybody should heed. I think that's the secret of life. Next up, we have Lizzie Goodkoff. Yes, very good, very cov. Here we go with Lizzie's story. I know you'll enjoy. I will. And won't you, Bruin? Aw, you're curled up next to me. Yes, you are. You're just a happy boy. Tummy rub, and he turns, and he shows his tummy. So he's a happy cat. Shouldn't we all be happy cats? I am, and I'm avoiding the purple areas on him.
What's he building in there? The kids thought as they peeked through the dusty windows in the back. The old man stayed in the basement of the hotel for days on a row. Darkness engulfed his shadow even deeper as he paced back and forth. Strange noises, hammering sounds. The scar on his face, the tattoo on his arm. Was he in jail? Every now and then, he glanced at the window, and the kids cringed, wondering what he was building in there. They could swear they heard someone moaning the other day. Where is that poet who went missing? This text was inspired by Tom Waits' song, What's He Building in There?
Actually, Tom Waits and that song, or that whatever that piece was, he was building a cat toy. Yeah, because, you know, the guy, what's he building in there? He was building a cat toy. Yeah, because he just wanted to have carpet-covered stuff and make his kitty cat happy. And he built it in the basement so the cat wouldn't, you know, oh, I'm going to jump on that. Well, I'm trying to hammer over here. Oh, I'm going to jump, I'm going to roll around on that. So that's why he was in the basement working on it, to keep the cat out of it while it was building it. Doesn't that make sense? No? Okay, fine. Anyway, thank you, Lizzie. Next up, we have Serendipity Haven. I know, serendipity means, you know, just, oh, luck. Well, there's no luck involved in this. It's all skill, and it shows. Here, let me show you.
A soft tap at the door. Room service! And then the clink and rattle of the breakfast trolley. I never ordered breakfast, I protest, shuffling out of bed. Nonsense, sir. The specialty. Champagne breakfast with black truffle omelette. Enjoy, he smiles, preferring my chair. I shrug and sit. It's excellent, and I tuck in with a hearty appetite. Just sign here, Mr. Lambert. Lambert? The room number on the slip is 838. I'm in 833. Half-eaten egg and pop champagne are cleared with a frown, and now he stood at the door, hand outstretched expectantly. You want a damn tip?
Thank you. Serendipity. Oh, I want to warn everyone, I'm using a new version of Audacity 2.0. Yeah, I was using 1.3, and it was stable as heck, and it was working for me. So I'm sure this is going to garble everything up until 2.01, then 2.02. 2.0. This talking about software versions puts me to sleep. Oh, when will it ever end? When will we all just have stuff? 1.0. And it works. I mean, you don't go sitting in chair 2.0 or chair 3.0, all these crazy designs, and you slide around the floor and they score up your tile. Why do I have two cats now? What do you want?
What do you want, little girl? You were not happy to see me yesterday.
Yeah, I was picking her up and hugging on her, and she's like, no, put me down.
She doesn't like to be picked up and hugged. Her tummy pat. No, but Boo loves to have his tummy. He doesn't like to be picked up either. But I do love to pet his tummy, and he loves it. He's just so happy. Oh, well.
Oh, there was a podcast going on, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. Who do we want next? Zachman. Zachman can step in and keep me from blithering about cats.
Oh, and he's got a URL here. Mad Scientist Anthology.
Oh, that thing that I was supposed to write for. Oh, here's Zachman and his story.
I was a little worried about working security for a hotel during a supervillain convention until I realized most are waiting for The Method of the Madness, A Guide to the Super Evil. I think it being especially calm for a convention, likely because many of the attendees are working on their submissions, since they are due at the end of next month. I should have my kid help me write an essay about not using a security, housekeeping, or police job as a supervillain cover, since we are the first people who investigators check. Everyone watches the Watchers.
Thank you, Zachman, but I don't watch the Watchers. I mean, yeah, I know someone needs to watch the Watchers because you gotta have an audit trail, but if you watch the Watchers and someone has to watch the Watchers of the Watchers, and then someone's watching the watching of the watching of the Watchers, and sometimes that's the Watchers. So now you got the watching of the Watchers being watched by the Watchers, watching the Watchers. Oh God, it gets so confusing. I'm gonna wind up with a story about that, aren't I? Oh well. I'm gonna make a note of that. Okay, watching the watch. There we go. All right. You see, that's how inspiration works. It's really stealing. Speaking of stealing, you'd never think to steal from Muncie, because he'd get you. He'd get you good. Here's Muncie and his story.
Hey, everybody. You ready for some fiction? I know I am. Let's get some story busting up in here. Isolation by Chris Monroe.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. I had to. She kept the house. And the kids. I see them every other weekend, but in between, it's just me. Alone in the hotel I'm staying in until I find an apartment. I should be looking for an apartment, but I feel like doing that makes it somehow more permanent. This is permanent. It's my own fault, I know. One lapse in judgment and my life came tumbling down. I have nobody to blame but myself, but sometimes I get so lonely I could die.
Flash fiction at MunzieStories.blogspot.com. Tweets at MunzieMunzie. And with that, I'm off to Calgary Expo for 3 days of geeky fun. Talk to you next week.
Well, just remember, it's better to be at the hotel at the end of Lonely Street than in, well, in the jailhouse, rocking, or getting rocked. Ugh. Ooh, thank you, Muncie. Next up, we have Guy David. Let's find out what craziness, what madness, what peeks into the world of the weird he's able to see. I envy his vision, letting loose of this too solid world and seeing the unusual. I have this theory that imagination is what's real, and the so-called real world is what gets in our way, makes it hard to see, makes it hard to embrace. You need to find that imaginary world, that secret world, and reach in and grab it and hug it close. And who cares if it has spikes all over it? Oh, the blood. The blood. The blood will flow and you can roll around on the floor and act like a gigantic printing press, rolling around on the floor and leaving your mark on the world. Alright, that's kind of sick. Let me just play Guy's story.
Thank you. 306, a 100-word story by Guy David. We are pretty sure there's a dimensional rift on room 306. Every once in a while, one of the guests goes in. Problem is, it's an exchange. What goes out looks like the guest, but we are pretty sure it's a demon. We know it by the way he abuses the hotel employees, being rude to the maids and abusive to the bellboys, so we use our anti-demon contraption, aka demon cage. Once it's inside demanding a lawyer, we dispose of it in the river. In fact, there might be dimensional rifts on other rooms as well.
Remember to order a non-smoking, non-portal dimensional rift room when you make your reservations. And you want a view of the pool. Thank you, Guy David. Next up, we have a collaboration. It's between Bonchance and Severina. We know her as Sevi, of course. Oh, and they have two stories? Oh, this is going to be exciting. Two for the price of, well, we don't charge anything for this podcast. Maybe we should. Ooh, yes, we can roll in the money. Of course, there won't be much money to roll in. It would, and how sweaty it gets. It's coming up on summer down here. Summer begins, well, actually, it began a few weeks ago. What? What are you... No, Bruin, I don't want your commentary. Well, it's not like he meows like Naruto, but still, he looks up at me like, hey, you gonna pet me? Whatever. Oh yeah, there's a podcast going on. Right. Okay, here's Bonchance and Sevi. I'll shut up now.
Crab Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word, hotel. Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall, two collaborative works. One hotel bed on borrowed time, needed night of respite to let your body rest. Strange noises echo all around you, forcing your dreams to be interrupted rudely. You pull the musty pillow over your ears, trying to drown out the sudden banging and thundering, the constant comings and goings, counting sheep thinking it will help ease your soul, your body weary, begging for slumber. You pray for the sounds to go away momentarily, staring at the ceiling, wide awake, sleep stolen by thin walls. You count little white sheep. They float over fences. Wake up call. This hotel sucks. Hotel. Tom stood at the floor-to-ceiling window of his hotel room. The latest winter storm raged outside. He took a bite of the complimentary cookie and then sipped the hot free coffee. The perfect dinner. He watched a motorist dig out an opening in the wall of snow to make another attempt to get his car out of the lot. A twinge of guilt poured over him. He would miss his daughter's first ballet recital. He checked all the road conditions. He knew he had made the right choice in not attempting the long drive home. The guilt remained.
I'd feel guilty, too, although I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did to feel guilty about, but I'm sure that I did something wrong, and I feel guilty about it. I feel guilty for not having said, thank you, Bonchance and Sevi, already. I don't know what to do about this guilt. I'll just pet a cat tummy. Okay, good boy. Yeah, this is going to be a cat tummy podcast. Yeah. And I'd take a photo of this, but it's still dark out, so it means it's still dark in here, because I don't ever turn on lights. And it's kind of hard to photograph a black cat in the dark. Isn't that right? Yes. Oh, you want your chin scratched? Okay.
There you go. Oh, you are such a happy boy. Oh, am I supposed to... This whole podcast thing, it gets in the way of petting cats. But I can still share Logan Berry's story with you. Yeah, Logan Berry came back. Everybody's coming back. It's a happy thing. Although, how many stories were this week? I don't know. You people can count it and post it in the comments, too. No one posts anything in the comments anyway. What are the comments there for, anyway? What's the point? There's like 10 different layers of anti-spam systems, and nobody sends anything up. You got the CAPTCHAs and the IP checks and... Oh, man, I should just go back to sleep. Logan Berry's story.
The first Thursday of every month, they meet at a hotel. A different hotel every time, according to the order they appear in the telephone directory. They alternate procuring reservations under names selected in alphabetical order from the big book of surnames in the chapter Most Common. They don't speak, except in private sign language. They turn on the TV fairly loud, and then play a recording. The recording is mostly silent, with the occasional cough, or snore, or flush of a toilet. They make love soundlessly. Until one day, when they both cry out at once, so intense is their passion, in horror they dress quickly and leave separately, never to meet again.
Thank you, Logan. Although I'm pretty sure that we settled on Smith, and we were going to be at the motel. Just edit that out. Speaking of people meeting at the Hotel 6, you'll never meet Stephen Sauce there, because he's too busy writing and recording and creating things. But most of all, imbuing people with radiation to become giant mutant versions of themselves. Really, is that how the Hulk started? Ooh, Steven, can you turn me into a Hulk? Okay, while I'm, finding some purple shorts that will stretch to fit, here's Steven the Nuclear Man and his story.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I want to take a moment to talk about one of the books that I've published that I haven't talked a whole lot about. It's Don Bingle's Net Impact. See, one of the things that I really like about the new James Bond movies, and that I like much more so than the older ones, is that it's not campy. That there's still the action, there's still the excitement, but there's a realistic edge to it. That's what Don's brought to Net Impact. It's a spy thriller that takes place in both real and virtual worlds. I think you'll find it interesting. You can find it at alliterationinc.com or search for Net Impact Bingle. And you can find it, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Anyway, on with today's story with the prompt of Hotel. The school's playground equipment squeaks behind Gretchen and Harvey as they crawl under the brambly bushes. Gretchen stands on the far side, a smirk flitting between her pigtails, as Harvey wheezes out of breath. Harvey looks up, past his classmate, and sees it first. Candy! The children run for the strange building, entranced by candy cane pillars, the gingerbread walls, the icing trim. Their teacher's voice carries across the bushes. Harvey! Gretchen! Recess is over! Reluctantly, the children leave. Inside, two witches glare furiously after the children. The older witch snaps off a bit of peppermint. Don't check out, huh?
In addition to all those places that Steven the Nuclear Man told you you could read that story, I've posted the link to it in the show notes, too. So if you don't know how to spell alliteration, well, actually, no, how did A-L-L-I-T-T-E-R-R-A-T-T-I-I-O-N-N? No, that's not right.
I think it needs two O's. Anyway, thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man, and I posted up the link because it's just that fun. Next up, now that we've had the Nuclear Man regale us with a tale of madness, it's time for Chris the Nuclear Kid to bring us back down to Earth and then nail our feet to whatever substance we're standing on. Hopefully it's not sand. Otherwise, well, nails don't stick to sand. Well, sand, if it's wet sand, it'll stick a little bit to the nails, but it's not like nailing your feet into a wooden board, or actually with concrete, you may have to pre-drill. Never mind. Here's Chris the Nuclear Kid and his story, and you may want to hide your feet.
I followed Firehawk to the hotel. It had a hard miss, multicolored sign reading the inn. "I prepared a room for our guest Firehawk," said the innkeeper. "Thank you." "She will show you to your room. We can talk in the morning," said Firehawk. "Thank you. You've been very kind," I replied. The room was small, and there was a map and a piece of paper with holes in it in the corner of the room. Looking at the paper closer, I could see writing on its edge. I'll look at it in the morning," I muttered to myself.
Thank you, Chris the Nuclear Kid. Now that we've passed the nuclear zone of this podcast, we can shed our radiation suits, or radiation dresses, depending on, you know, your preference, or you could just wear a radiation utilikilt. It works either way. And, that's right, Julie is back, and she has a story called Housekeeping. Welcome back, Julie, and here's your story.
I asked the maid to clear it all away, the Merlot-stained glass, the towels, your coffee cup, to remove any reminder that you had been here, even briefly. It is now a lovely memory, however. I need to wipe away the tangible vestiges, because it is all so sweet, so unreal, that dwelling upon it is causing me physical pain. And so I stare out at the city, buried in the fog and the rain. I check the windows. They do not, blessedly, open. I'm given a reprieve. I sob. I wait for sleep. I curl against a pillow which still bears your scent. I wouldn't let the maid change the sheets.
Thank you, Julie. You know, for a moment there I was wondering, why are all these stories about hotels? And then it hit me. It's the topic. Wow. Am I getting enough sleep? No, I'm not. But I still wake up on my own. The reason why I didn't get much sleep. Oh, we had this great pizza. It was from Pink's Pizza. It's a local place. And mine had garlic and it had rosemary chicken. And you could taste all the flavors. It wasn't just all boiled and baked out. Oh, it was so good. Oh, let's see. There was artichoke. And there were Roma tomatoes on there. And it was a pesto sauce instead of the usual. I like different sauces. Even though I like the tomato sauce, sometimes it can be a little spicy. And so I like trying different things. And it was good. But I had way too much of it. Usually I'm a Keneally's pizza kind of guy, but they don't deliver. And, well, Pink's doesn't either. Gina went out and grabbed it, and then she was like, oh, I'm not going to go to the grocery store. So, today is going to be grocery store run. Actually, I need to walk to the grocery store to get my blueberries. My blueberries! My beautiful blueberries! Speaking of beautiful blueberries, here's Cliff, Uncle Monster, all those names. He's all of them. He's all of them wrapped into a giant name burrito. But I won't buy from Freebirds because twice they forgot my queso. Sure, it was 8 years ago, but I will never forget.
The sign said no vacancy. I rang the desk bell anyway. The clerk looked like a beard with eyes. We're full. Really? This place probably has 100 rooms, and you got 8 cars in the lot. We're full. I slapped 100 on the counter. He smiled, showing more pointy teeth than anyone should have. Anyone natural, that is. Heading to my room, I passed several guests. They looked like rejects from the Westminster Dog Show. In my room, I loaded the spare magazines with silver rounds. Tomorrow, I would be dead, or finally have the title, Wolf's Bane.
Thank you. Cliff, Clifford, Uncle Monster, all that together wrapped into a giant burrito that will be provided by Chipotle, not by Freebirds. I walk by Freebirds every now and then when I'm coming home from work, and I think, you know, their burritos weren't all that bad. No, I will go to Mission Burrito. I will go to Chipotle. I will go to Kroger and get stuff and make my own. But I will not eat at Freebirds. All it took was two little containers of queso. $2 worth. But that $2 means so much. Some wounds are too deep to heal. They will never scar over, and I will never forgive them. Let's go on to the next story. This one's by Danny Dwyer. He's happy, happier than me, and probably gets queso from Freebirds, even though he's all the way in Florida. They probably send him tubs and tubs of the stuff. Oh, I know you didn't order it, but here's all the queso that we don't give to people that order it here. We have to put it somewhere. We have to keep our books balanced, and so we'll balance them on our flaccid penises and be all stupid. Sorry, I get a little carried away. Here's Danny's story.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here, burning the midnight oil on the zero hour to get this weekly challenge in. It's not even Saturday night anymore. It is now the wee hours of Sunday morning. So without further ado, here is Weekly Challenge 314, Hotel. Jack, a volunteer test subject for an experimental drug that shrinks the human body to tiny proportions, was put up in a luxury beachside hotel on the Gulf of Mexico. "I can leave a free hotel," Jack murmured, heavily sedated by the drug. "Just like Homer Simpson's cartoon show. What's the name of it?" Tiny Jack was now living inside an actual Monopoly game hotel, on a cocktail table on the beach. Suddenly, Jack's body expands. Shards of Monopoly Hotel slice through his body. Several thousand stitches later, Jack is fine, but he still cannot remember the name of Homer Simpson's show.
Ooh, ooh, I know what it is. It's called The Tracy Ullman Show. Do I win something? Do I win? Well, thank you, Danny. Can you teach me how to use Pinterest? I have no idea how to use Pinterest. I barely know how to use this Google Plus. I just post up the stories to a public feed, and it's like, no, you have to have circles for this and circles for this and send it to the right people. I'm like, screw that. You know, I'm used to Twitter, where you just spam it all out, and people subscribe on their own, and they categorize you. With Google Circles, you have to decide what circles to put people in. I don't know. I don't know who half of these people are that are following me. Do I have to follow them back? Do I have to circle them? Screw that. I'm just putting it up in public like it's a blog. I'm misusing it. I'm using a screwdriver as a hammer or a sledgehammer as a salad spinner. I don't know these tools anymore. They're so fucking complicated. I lose at the internet. I lose. Somebody who's won at the internet is Philip Norval Joe Carroll. Let's listen to his victory speech now. Play that harmonica like a fanfare of trumpets.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at patiobooks.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 314 with a prompt of hotel. Before my story, I want to mention that if you have listened to The Price of Friendship and are interested in reading a short story that takes place the month or so after the end of that book, it will be posted at my blog at theprice of friendship friendship.blogspot. Blogspot. The price of friendship.blogspot.com. So here's my story. Owen woke, cold and soggy. His cloak had done little to seal out the continuous drizzle throughout the night. He warmed slightly as they found the road and picked up their pace, but he was still wet, increasingly muddy, and the rain continued. Only the thought that the ranger, Traveler, had promised he would sleep in a real bed that night kept him going. At dusk, the company stood before a hovel, not much more than a pile of boards leaned against one another. "What's that?" Owen asked in despair. Traveler patted Owen's back and laughed. "The inn, of course." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. And remember, it's not Blogspot, it's Blogspurt. Blogsport! Is Blogsport taken? Probably is. It probably is. Thank you, Norval Joe. And remember, the price of friendship is trust and putting your life on the line and commitment and power. Oh, sweet power. Speaking of power. Nope, the power's still on. All right. No, you're going to get a drink of water? Okay. He doesn't want me petting his tummy right now. He'll probably jump back up here and be all like, "Oop, wait, slump. Okay, pet my tummy. Man, I need to take the trash out. I need to go to HEB and get some blueberries. It's going to be an exciting day. Unless there's been a blueberry recall, that would kind of suck. I mean, you know, all these blueberries are square. Oop, got to send them back. Next up, we have TJ. Yes, not only is TJ back, but he's a regular thing now. He's all regular and stuff. Actually, it's because the glaciers have thawed and rolled back from North Dakota and moved back into Canada, where they're freezing the dinosaurs again. Here's TJ and his story.
Hi, it's TJ. I am from North Dakota, and for this week's topic, hotel, I start what I hope will be a new series called Westwood. Enjoy! The knock was insistent, which was the second unusual thing about this night. My reservations at the Westwood Inn had been lost and reassigned in a computer glitch, but the night desk manager assured me that my new room, a suite, would be far more comfortable. Fine by me, since I comped the increased cost, but now, at 4:37 a.m., who did the person knocking so frantically from the adjoining room suppose that I was? I pulled my robe around my shoulders and opened the door to discover a frightened, agitated woman. "Please help me," she implored. "It's my daughter."
Thank you, TJ. And need I remind everyone that the answer to Midnight Oil's question, "How can we sleep while the beds are burning?" is asbestos pajamas and two shots of NyQuil. Next up, well, it's the last story of the evening. It's time once again for that planet far, far, far away. Well, all planets are far away, except for the one we're standing on that we haven't been nailed to because we're standing on sand. We only write our names in sand. And that planet, that far distant planet, that far, far distant planet, too far to see with the naked eye, or even the covered eye, or the eye that is covered by your hands, and you're peeking through your fingers wondering if that horror movie is over yet. Why do you bother peeking through your hands? It ruins the 3D effect and you get them all smudgy. No, it's time once again for Planet Z. Oh, yes.
Back in grade school, there was a kid who did magic. He worked with cards, coins, and interlocking rings. But his best trick was sticking four Monopoly houses in his mouth and spitting out a hotel. We made him open his mouth to see if he had the houses under his tongue. Nope, because he'd swallowed them. Plastic Monopoly houses are supposed to be non-toxic and safe, but one somehow caused an ulcer. They rushed him into surgery, and he died from an allergic reaction to the anesthesia. At his funeral, his mom really let loose with the waterworks.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about hotel. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway, like comments or some sort of Empire Avenue thing. Oh, and this new Microsoft SkyDrive, where it'll completely screw up your system, then you uninstall it, and it blows up your iTunes, and you have to reinstall everything. Oh, it makes me so mad. But all the story archives for the past 7 years are up there, including a year and a half of stories from the future. So if you can't wait for the new stories, we'll go up there. They're not in any particular order. So you have to be like, oh, great, what did he title the ones? It'll take some detective work. But I think you can figure it out. You're clever, like bats with radar. Until next week, when the topic will be smoke, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.